This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, an essential part of your protective equipment is a proper fitting, custom-made mouthguard. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com.
Central Division.
Continuing our NHL season preview, we look at the Central Division, and based on how they finished last season, that means we start with the Colorado Avalanche. Their acquisitions in the offseason include Daniel Briere, ex of the Montreal Canadiens, Brad Stewart, ex of the San Jose Sharks, Jerome Iginla, Zach Redmond, Bruno Gervais, Jesse Winchester, and Ben Street. Leaving Colorado, P.A. Parenteau, Paul Stastny, Andre Benoit, Brad Malone, David Vandergulik, Matt Hunwick, Jean-Sebastien Giguère, and Corey Sarich. The Avalanche lost in overtime of Game 7 to the Minnesota Wild last year in the playoffs. The Avalanche sort of an interesting team in that they were not a popular team among the Corsi and Fenwick and advanced stats people. Who's going to prove to be correct there? Do you believe that the Avalanche are on the upward trajectory, or do you believe that ultimately their lack of possession stats are going to end up costing them in the 2014-15 season?
I think it's going to cost them, Drew, a few points. I think 112 points and winning the Central Division was a huge shock to me and a lot of people. I think a lot of us expected the Colorado Avalanche to be better. But winning the division in a division that has the Chicago Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues was a big surprise. I don't think they win the division this year. I still think it's going to be either Chicago or St. Louis, but I still think they're a playoff team. And I think the moves they made are going to help them in the playoffs. I do think the Colorado Avalanche are going to win a playoff round this year and compete with the Chicago Blackhawks and the LA Kings. I don't know if they're going to be able to take that next step. It's tough to say, but you bring in Jerome Iginla. He's probably going to play with Nathan MacKinnon on that second line, but you're so strong up the middle with Matt Duchene there and on the wings with Landeskog and Ryan O'Reilly. This team is all about offense. Strike quick and strike often. This team can score, and we saw this even against a good team like the Minnesota Wild in the playoffs, going back and forth. So to me, the Colorado Avalanche, they probably won't have as many points in the regular season, and there's still work to go on defense. I think Brad Stewart, even though he's a little bit older, he helps out. But Tyson Barrie, under contract now, I think he had a great season, great on the power play. So to me, this team is absolutely going to be a top team. But just because they're in that division, I think the Chicago Blackhawks and St. Louis Blues finished ahead of them. So I still think this team is now better equipped for the playoffs, though.
I think Nathan MacKinnon will be a top 15 player in the National Hockey League this year. And their top six is dynamite. I know Tanguay playing on the off wing right now, and he needs to stay healthy. He's a great passer, still underrated at his age if he stays healthy. Their bottom six leaves a lot to be desired, and I believe at least. I mean, obviously you want MacKinnon and Mitchell add some speed there, but they don't have a ton on the bottom lines, and their defense isn't great. Brad Stewart isn't what he once was, but certainly helped solidify their left side better than last year. Another season from Tyson Barrie, and hopefully if you're an Avs fan, you know, another improved season from Eric Johnson. Haven't talked about Varlamov yet. I still think this team is a playoff team. I agree with Ezzy. I mean, they exceeded expectations last year, but the core of this team is only getting better. Landeskog, Duchene, MacKinnon, still, you don't want to play this team, and they can beat you in many different ways. And I think Iginla helps change the way they can beat you because Stastny was in a depth position, center. They have O'Reilly playing wing right now, and frankly, he is a center. Iginla adds a big shot. He's a little bit slower, but he's a big shot. And maybe there's some concern about meshing a slower guy with some of the faster guys. Big shot, go into the corners, good leader. I like what they did this year, adding veterans to a young core and great goaltending.
The St. Louis Blues finished second in the Central Division, 1 point behind the Colorado Avalanche last season. They acquired Carl Gunnarsson in the offseason. They signed Paul Stastny, ex of the Avalanche, hurting their division rival. They also signed Jori Lehterä out of the KHL, John McCarthy, Chris Butler, Ben Ferrero, Jeremy Welsh, Nate Prosser on defense, Peter Mueller, and Colin Frazier, ex of the Los Angeles Kings. Leaving St. Louis, Roman Polak, Derek Roy, Brendan Morrow, Adam Cracknell, Ryan Miller, the goaltender, went to Vancouver. Vladimir Sobotka, Keith O'Coin, and Carlo Koliakovo leave St. Louis. Year in, year out, we ask, is this the year the Blues finally match their talent? How do you see it playing out?
I don't think it's about matching talent, Drew. I think they get more of their talent than they actually have. And I think Stastny helps him up the middle, you know, and he rounds out kind of that top six with guys like Backes, Steen, and Tarasenko. But the question is, you know, they've maybe filled a question up front, up the middle with Stastny, and then created a question in the back end. I don't even love Ryan Miller anymore. I've heard good things about Jake Allen, but I've also heard things, you know, maybe Jake Allen isn't ready yet. I know he's in the AHL last year and has performed well and is a good young prospect, but Brian Elliott, in my mind, isn't good enough. So Jake Allen, you're going to entrust your whole playoff hopes in a rookie to me, because if you trust Elliott, I don't think you're good enough. I don't think the Blues, I mean, again, regular season success they'll have, but I still think this team doesn't have what it takes to beat the best teams in the West.
Yeah, I think that's what it always boils down to, Richie, and they have one of the best decors in the entire NHL, and I think Carl Gunnarsson was brought in more of an offensive guy as opposed to Roman Polak. I think that trade really helped both Toronto and St. Louis, but you're talking about Alex Petrangelo, Jay Bouwmeester, Kevin Shattenkirk. Yeah. It's an excellent decor, and they're going to score goals, and they're an excellent special teams team, and so to me, there's still a team that will probably finish first or second in the division. To me, it's a toss-up, Chicago and St. Louis. It seems like every year, 1 or 2 points separates them. But when it comes down to it, are they going to get the key goal? Because last year in the playoffs, Chicago has their number. So I don't know if they've done enough. Paul Stastny, I think, yeah, he gives them a second-line center that can now take some of the burden off of David Backes, take some of that offense, the offensive burden from David Backes. But to me, I don't think they're a team that is good enough to get to the Stanley Cup Finals or even the Western Conference Finals. I know maybe that's a little bit pessimistic, but they're a good defensive team. They're always going to be a hard team to play against, but I don't know if they've taken that next step in the division.
Need to sign Jaden Schwartz. He's a big key there because, you know, their top six rounds out with him. I know some of them are all left-handed shooting guys, but they're going to be a good team. I just don't see how they take that next step.
Chicago Blackhawks lost in Game 7 of the Western Conference Final to the Los Angeles Kings in one of the most epic playoff series that we can really remember in recent history. Their offseason acquisitions, Brad Richards, Cody Bass, Pierre-Cedric Labrie, they signed defenseman Kyle Kuminski and goaltender Michael Layton. Leaving Chicago, Brandon Bolig goes to Calgary, Jason LaBarbera, Nikolai Habibulin.
Same team.
Yeah, same team as last year, pretty much. Any reason to believe that they're not also going to either come out of the West or fall, you know, an inch behind the team that does?
They're still a great team, and they can beat you so quickly in terms of their speed and they have the grit to go along with that. They have such a great mix, Drew. And I think Richards, you know, he's not a great skater and he's not what he once was, but put him on second line with Kane, see what he can do, and you know, help the second power play unit. Improve their depth. You know, you want to make sure you stay healthy, Drew. You know, guys, they've had some injury problems, but Brandon Saad's an underrated player. This team is dynamite. You don't want to play this team. They're as good as anybody. They're probably the most talented team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it's the deepest team in the league, and now they have the second-line center that they've coveted for so long. And everyone, you know, thinks, oh, Brad Richards, he can't offer anything. Watch the playoffs last year. He was a big part of the New York Rangers team. He's won the Conn Smythe. He still had 20 goals last year, and I think that line, Brandon Saad, Brad Richards, and Patrick Kane is going to be a very dynamic line. Great top six forwards. Andrew Shaw, you know, a forward that I really like. Mm-hmm. They still have the exact same decor. And Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, you know what you're going to get. And I like that now Taves and Kane are signed long-term. Yeah. This team, the core of this team, sure, because they're up against the salary cap, Richie, they might have to make a few moves. I don't think that's going to be a major issue. This team is just too deep. You know, Corey Crawford, there's no question marks surrounding Corey Crawford. I know he had some rough games against the LA Kings in the Western Conference Finals, but this team is just so deep. So, again, I think it's the Blues and the Blackhawks. Flip a coin as far as who's winning the division.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we will touch on the final three teams in the Central Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our season preview spectacular on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Continuing our look at the Central Division with our NHL season preview show here on TSN 1290, we start with the Minnesota Wild, a playoff team last season that defeated the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. Game 7 overtime is where they won that game. Their big additions this offseason, the biggest one, of course, is Thomas Vanek, ex of the Montreal Canadiens. Also acquired Stu Bickle, Brett Sutter, Jordan Schrader, and Justin Falk, leaving Minnesota Matt Molson, Clayton Stoner, Danny Heatley, Nate Prosser, Cody McCormick, Jake Dowell, Carson McMillan, and Mike Rupp. Ilya Bryzgalov is in training camp on a PTO, or professional tryout offer. Ezzy, the Minnesota Wild, do you see them having an upward trajectory this year? How do you figure their season plays out?
Yeah, 98 points, 7th in the conference. I think this team is, again, a playoff team. I think they can probably finish a little bit higher in the Western Conference. I don't know if they finish as a top 4 or 5 team, but I think they could maybe move up to maybe 6th in the Western Conference. You bring in Thomas Vanek. That's just going to help the power play, which was kind of middle of the pack last year. Thomas Vanek has always been a great power play specialist, so I think he makes them better. I think last year, to me, what was the most improved with the Minnesota Wild was their overall forward depth. And in the bottom six, we talked about Eric Halla a little bit earlier. He was a really great surprise. Nino Niederreiter is now under contract. He's a great two-way forward, can kind of mix it up on the forecheck, and he can also put the puck in the net. Really like Nino Niederreiter after struggling quite a bit on Long Island. So I think the Minnesota Wild are a very good team. They seem to always be in games. You seem to never blow out the Minnesota Wild. We talked about last year, they upset the Colorado Avalanche, who were the division leader. So I think, you know, there's one question mark, and that's in goal. And Josh Harding, you know, he had the suspension for the non-hockey related incident. Darcy Kemper is the number one goalie as of now, and it's really, I think Nicholas Backstrom ends up being the backup. But to me, you know, hopefully Josh Harding's health-wise, will be able to get back, because he was excellent last year. I think Darcy Kemper is a good goalie. I think Josh Harding's better. So to me, that is a question mark. But defense, Ryan Suter, Jonas Brodin, is that the best D pairing in the league? If it's not, it's one of the best. So I still think they're a very good defensive team. They're a playoff team, might be a little bit better. And again, guys, they're such a hardworking team that I think they could upset someone in the first round again.
Richard Pollock, the Nashville Predators, are going to have a new head coach for the first time in franchise history. Someone other than Barry Trotz will be behind the bench. That's Peter Laviolette. They acquired James Neal from Pittsburgh. They sign Olli Jokinen. They sign Mike Ribeiro and Derek Roy. They sign Anton Volchenkov. Leaving Nashville, Patrick Hornqvist, Nick Spaulding. They go to Pittsburgh in the Neal trade. Patrick Eaves goes to Dallas. Michael Delzato is signed by Philadelphia. Nashville Predators have they done enough to enter into the playoff discussion in the Central Division?
Into the playoff discussion, yeah. I don't think they make the playoffs. Drew Rinne for a whole season is a huge upgrade, obviously, in Carter Hutton and who they had there last year. Really good puck-moving defenseman. Have Ryan Ellis sign now, 5 years, 2.5 per year. Weber, Ellis, and Seth Jones are as good as a right-side puck-moving defenseman as you're going to find in the National Hockey League. Roman Josi's underrated. They could use help to fill out that top four on the left side there. But they're going to be more exciting to watch. James Neal, I think, is a flawed player. I think they've added talent, and Ribeiro will make players around him better. They have a lot of veteran guys, kind of like New Jersey that way, and a bunch of veteran forwards. The West is too tough, though. I see them making it interesting and being far more exciting to watch, but giving it back a little bit more than they had in the past, too.
the final team in the Central Division, and they did screw up the orders. The Dallas Stars, my apologies for that. The Dallas Stars were a playoff team last season. They went out and they acquired Jason Spezza from the Ottawa Senators this offseason. They also signed Anders Lindback, Alex Hemsky, also ex of Ottawa, and Patrick Eves, as we mentioned. Leaving Dallas, Alex Chiasson goes in the Spezza trade. Chris Mueller, Dustin Jeffrey, Maxime Fortunas, ex-Manitoba Moose for that matter, Ryan Whitney, Aaron Rome, Tim Thomas, Christopher Nilsdorp.
Ray Whitney.
Pardon me?
Ray Whitney.
What did I say? Ryan I said Whitney. Ryan Whitney. Yeah. I apologize. Ray Whitney, that's right. Ray Whitney. And they still have Cody Eakin and Brendan Dillon, who are unsigned. They're restricted free agents who aren't in training camp. The Dallas Stars, you know, up the middle, they're pretty damn good with Sagan and with Spezza. Do they have enough that. Up the middle to prevent their back end from causing them issues?
I think they're a playoff team, Drew. I think this, you look at the forwards, and you mentioned Sagan and Ben, dynamite players, as good as you're going to find offensively, as close to it in the National Hockey League, combo-wise. You look at their defense, so it leaves something to be desired. Sergei Gonchar is slower and older. Goligoski can add offensive ability, but he certainly gives it back at times. I like Jordy Benn, and Trevor Daley's solid. Need to sign Brendan Dillon. Even with those guys healthy and signed, they're still not a great defense. I like Kari Lehtinen, although he wasn't great in the playoffs. It's just their top 12 forwards are really strong, and I see that being a playoff team with their top 12 forwards. But they will have some streaks where they have problems keeping the puck out of their own zone and keeping the puck out of their own out of the back of the net. So Jimmy Neal will deal with these things as time goes on, and they hope internally they can help it out a bit. But I still think this is a bottom end playoff team that gives a scare to a team like Anaheim.
Yeah, I think I can't really add much more to what Richie said, but I think that, you look at the defense, and it's probably not as good as Chicago or St. Louis or L.A. or Anaheim. That's many teams. I like what Jamie Benn's brother, Jordy Benn, did. He had his best season last year, and I think I agree with you, Richie. I think Jim Neal will probably try to address that via a trade as the season progresses, but Kari Lehtinen's an excellent goaltender. He can play 60-plus games, and up the middle with Jason Spezza there, Dallas had a terrible power play last year, 23rd in the NHL. Jason Spezza is a great power play player. He'll help. So I think this team is right around where they were last year, around, they'll be around the mid-90s as far as points go, fourth in the Central Division. It's an excellent team. But, when it gets down to the playoffs, Drew, again, I stress this and I sound like a broken record, but always comes down to defense. And the LA Kings, when you look at their decor with Drew Doughty and Slava Voynov and Muzzin and all these guys, That's what makes a championship team. And I think the Dallas Stars still need a few more pieces there. Even though Brendan Dillon's a good defenseman and Trevor Daley's a good defenseman, I just don't think they're there yet.
Kari Lehtinen gets a lot of, press for injury problems. I know we're going to break here, Drew, but 65 games last year, 36 in a 48-game season the year before that, 59 before that, and 69 before that. So he's playing a lot more now.
Let's go to break. When we come back, the Pacific Division preview. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Two hours down, 1 hour to go. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN1290. Little bit of Jets news on this Saturday. Prior to their game tonight at 7 p.m., the Jets have sent the following seven players down to the St. John's Ice Caps of the AHL. Austin Brassard, Brendan Kitchen, Scott Kosmachuk, Julian Melchiori, Yussi Okunura, Ryan Olsen, and Will O'Neill. Repeating, those seven players all sent down to the AHL's St. John's Ice Caps. Wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of those guys potentially up at some point during the NHL regular season. But for now, they're down to the Ice Caps and the AHL. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the longest-running independent comedy club in North America. For over 25 years, Rumors have been bringing the Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Right now, Rumors is undergoing some renovations. They will reopen at the beginning of November. Their 30th anniversary special is coming up in November. A fabulous lineup of comedians. Too many to name here on air, but check out rumorscomedyclub.com for your list of performers upcoming in November.
Pacific Division.
Continuing with our division-by-division, team-by-team preview, we move to the Pacific Division and the Anaheim Ducks, as they were the winners of the Pacific last season, finished with 116 points, 1 point behind the Boston Bruins for the President's Cup trophy. Their big acquisition this offseason, Ryan Kesler, comes to Anaheim from Vancouver. They also acquire Louis LeBlanc from Montreal, Nate Thompson from Tampa Bay, Clayton Stoner and Danny Heatley from Minnesota, and Jason LaBarbera from Chicago. Leaving Anaheim, Timo Salani obviously retired, Saku Koivu retired, Nick Bonino goes to Vancouver, Lucas Spezza goes to Vancouver, Stefan Robida goes to Toronto, Jonas Hiller, Matthew Perreault comes to Winnipeg, Daniel Winnick, David Steckel, and Nolan Jonkman. Any reason why the Anaheim Ducks aren't one of the favorites in the Pacific, aren't the favorite in the Pacific Division, especially with
the
their
favorite,
improved...
Drew. I didn't win the cup.
I know. Sorry, the favorite. No, I said the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
Any reason why they're not the favorite in the Pacific Division, especially given their additions up the middle with Ryan Kesler?
LA is still there, right?
LA is still there, but LA finished 16 points behind them last year.
They won the cup, though, right?
Yeah, they did. But do you think that we see a hangover from the cup winning team?
You know, I mean, Anaheim was really good 5-on-5 last year, guys, and they kind of did it by committee after that first line. And now they've added Kesler, Drew, as you mentioned, and he's an upgrade over Matthew Perreault. And you know, if he can stay healthy, that's a big key there, right? Like, I mean, Kesler goes down. I mean, what's the depth situation? Danny Heatley's name sounds great, but the guys can hardly move out there skating wise, and maybe he can find a spot beside those top two guys I just mentioned before. But I like the addition of Nate Thompson. He can kill penalties. He can do some different things. And Clayton Stoner, you know, is your kind of solid stay-at-home guy on the back end. Cam Fowler's progression last year, and I thought Sammy Vatanen and Ben Lovejoy, those, and Lindholm, those are kind of the key four guys to me on the back end. Of course, you have the veterans like a Boschman and a Brian Allen. They have good depth on the back end, which they didn't have years ago. Do they have the depth of forward? Yeah, they have, you know, maybe not the skill depth of forward, but they have player depth of forward, and a guy like DeMonte Smith-Pelly and different guys can step in. This Anaheim team looks great. I mean, it's going to be a tough team to play during the regular season, and if they're healthy in the playoffs, the question is it going to be Frederik Andersen, or is John Gibson going to take that job right away? I know you mentioned the barber, Drew. He's simply not good enough. So, if their goaltending can be there, I mean, they were in Game 7 against the Los Angeles Kings last year, and it was a terrible performance, granted, but and I do have still have some questions about Bruce Boudreau in a big game as a coach, but they're probably the third-best team in the Western Conference, in my mind.
Yeah, they're absolutely still a top team in the Western Conference, and now they finally have a 2A center in Ryan Kesler, and mm-hmm. Richie, health is always going to be an issue for Ryan Kesler based on his injury past in Vancouver. So the Anaheim Ducks, led by Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry, are one of the best offensive teams in the league, and you mentioned their defense. It's young, and you know they lose a few players, but they're still an excellent defensive team. Power play was awful last year. Ryan Kesler will help. He scored, I believe it was 9 power play goals for the Vancouver Canucks last year, so he'll help the power play. They don't have a true quarterback. They want Vatanen to be that power play quarterback, but they don't really have a power play quarterback like some of the other teams. So I think the Ducks are right around where they were. They might go down a little bit points-wise this year, but I still think they're one or two in this Pacific Division, and I do think they're better than they were last year. And I think, you know, Richie mentions Frederik Andersen, John Gibson, whoever ends up taking that number one role, and we've always said competition in goal is important. Both of those goalies are excellent goalies. Andersen proved it last year. John Gibson also proved that he has the trust of Bruce Boudreau. He's an excellent goaltender. So I think they're strong in all areas, and I think, you know, a little bit of an improvement on special teams. Now, without Koivu and Salani there, they're expecting guys like Jakob Silverberg and Devontae Smith-Pelly to replace that offense. So, you know, it's a younger team this year. But I do think I'm high on the Ducks. I do think they're going to do better in the playoffs this year.
The San Jose Sharks had one of the most sort of bizarre off seasons since, after they were up 3-0 against the Los Angeles Kings in the first round. They blew that lead, lost in 7 games, didn't put up any sort of fight. We've heard all off season, will they, won't they, who's leaving, who's coming, everything along those lines. Long story short, they're pretty much the same team they were last season. They signed John Scott and Taylor Fadun. They acquired Ty McGinn from Philadelphia. Leaving San Jose is Brad Stewart, Dan Boyle, Marty Havlat, John McCarthy, Bracken Kearns, and Matt Pelech. what to make of the San Jose Sharks?
I mean, they're a very talented team, Drew. They have the talent certainly to make the playoffs. Brent Burns goes to the back end, where I thought he kind of was brought in to begin with, so I thought that was an odd move, although he was productive at forward. They re-signed Justin Braun, who's really solid, all-around guy. They like Mirko Mueller, their young defenseman. They have lots of talent on the back end, and you wonder maybe if they will put Burns back up front, depending on, you know, roster needs. But, you know, you have your top four. You have an identity crisis there. And nobody's really talking about the fact that they had no trust in their goaltenders at the end of last season. Niemi in, Niemi out. I mean, McClellan was playing around in this team. He's said so many things to kind of challenge his squad, and nobody's reacted. I'm suddenly going to buy into it. I mean, they're a playoff team if they can keep it together during the regular season, but they're a disaster otherwise.
The last team that we want to touch on this segment in the Pacific Division is the team that finished third but ultimately ended up hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup. That's the Los Angeles Kings. Again, very quiet in the offseason. They signed Adam Cracknell and David Vandergulik, leaving Los Angeles Lyndon Vay, Willie Mitchell, Andrew Campbell, and Colin Frazier. Ezzy, would you be the least bit surprised if the Los Angeles Kings repeated as Stanley Cup champions?
No, I wouldn't. And I think they're going to finish right around where they did last year, fifth or sixth in the Western Conference. I still think the Anaheim Ducks and the San Jose Sharks, it's going to be tough to finish higher than them. But the LA Kings, again, last year really kind of stumbled through the regular season, especially offensively. And what did they do? They went out and they got Marian Gaborik, and he was really a key part of their Stanley Cup run. So I still think the LA Kings, you know, you mentioned some of the moves, losing Willie Mitchell, you know, that hurts, but they're going to improve from within. And Adam Cracknell's more of a depth guy. But the LA Kings, so good defensively, and, you know, the advanced stats guys love the LA Kings, first in Fenwick and Corsi.
I think everybody loves the LA Kings.
So. This team is so deep up the middle with Jeff Carter and Mike Richards and Jarrett Stolen, of course, Anze Kopitar, one of the best two-way players in the league, and the emergence of Tyler Toffoli and Tanner Pearson on that 70s line with Jeff Carter was important, and I think, you know, Tyler Toffoli, really high on him. I think he'll be better this year. So, again, you don't want to really play the LA Kings in the playoffs, do you? Even if you finish ahead of them in the regular season, they seem to keep, you know, winning Stanley Cup. So, you know, this is still a very good team.
Before we go to break, one more piece of news from Winnipeg Jets camp. Yesterday in practice, TJ Gagliardi took a high stick in the facial region near his eyes. He apparently has undergone laser eye surgery to repair some of the damage that he sustained. He has regained sight in his left eye and will be out at least 7 days. So, scary incident. Sounds like it's not all bad news. He had surgery and is going to be okay by the sounds of it. So there you have an update on TJ Gagliardi of the Winnipeg Jets. Let's go to break. When we return, Eric DeHatchik of the Globe and Mail joins us to discuss the Western Conference in the NHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from the Globe and Mail our good friend Eric DeHatchik. Eric, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Always my pleasure.
As we do each and every year, Eric, we brought you on to talk about the Western Conference in the NHL, to preview the Western Conference. As such, we're going to start with the two teams that met in the Western Conference Final last season, the Los Angeles Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks. They played one of the more epic playoff series that we've seen in the last number of years, and both teams' rosters remain fairly similar to how they ended last year. Do they remain the favorites in your mind to meet again in the Conference Final?
Yeah, I do. You know, I mean,
you know, I'll preface everything by saying it's so hard to predict how the, you know, the ebbs and flows of a season go. So, you know, any team, real good teams or real poor teams, can be undermined by, you know, a terrible run of injuries. And I think the one thing that the LA Kings will tell you is that, you know, the years that they won the Stanley Cup, they had very good health, and the year that they lost to Chicago, they had four or five guys that could barely play. So, but having said that, I mean, I don't see any reason not to pick them. I mean, you know, in the current era, it was hypothesized that there would be no dynasties and that there would be no teams that would be continually able to put a product on the ice year after year after year consistently, because they wouldn't be able to afford to keep their top players. And I think that both these teams are proof that you can get around it if you have smart management and if you have players that are willing to look at the big picture and understand where they fit in the payroll. So, you know, I mean, you said it, Los Angeles essentially returns the same team that they had, and they are not an old team. I think a lot depends on, you know, Jonathan Quick's health, and that would be the one red flag that I would raise there. He's had three significant injuries over the last couple of years, and I know Daryl Sutter really well, and he is a coach that may understand intuitively that this is the year where you might reduce Quick's workload to 55 games and give Martin Jones a chance to start the other third. But that's not his instinct. You know, he ran Mika Kiprusoff out 70 times a year, and I think that he would like to do that again with Quick. So I would say that a lot of what would have to go right with Los Angeles depends on the quality of their goaltending and keeping Quick healthy and ready to go again once the playoffs start. So other than that, though, all the pieces look, you know, nicely in place, and I thought some of their young kids like Tyler Toffoli, Tanner Pearson, and Jake Muzzin look as if they're just going to get better.
Eric, with what happened with the San Jose Sharks last year, the epic collapse, being up 3-0 on the LA Kings and then losing the series and then really keeping most of the roster together, how can we expect anything different from a team that's really never got it done in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, they are by far the most interesting team going into the start of the season, because to me it can go one of two ways. You know, I don't think that they did this deliberately, but accidentally they may have found a way of motivating Thornton and Marleau more than they have in the past. And you know, that sounds as if I believe that these guys were unmotivated players, and that's not true. But I do think that Joe Thornton, when he plays with a chip on his shoulder, is a different player than Joe Thornton when he's the guy that, you know, does the button hook in the zone, pulls up and makes those great seeing eye passes to, you know, the forward or the defenseman coming late. And the same with Patrick Marleau. You know, like, it is hard sometimes to get these guys to play with anger, and I think that maybe what happened this year, where, you know, the organization essentially challenged their leadership skills and wondered if they could win while they were part of the central leadership group, it may well be that they have a different attitude going into the season and just play with a greater edge. And if it doesn't come naturally to you, it's something that you have to keep reminding yourself to do. And so that is a real difficult thing to sometimes do over an 82-game season. So to me, I think the Sharks, you know, as you sort of posit with your question, they're probably good enough to make the playoffs with the group of players that they've got. I mean, you subtract Dan Boyle from the mix. He wasn't really a great player for them in the first two-thirds of the season, a little bit better after the Olympic break. But I think their personnel is such that they should be able to get into the playoffs. And then it's just a matter of, you know, what kind of motivation will we see? I mean, the last team that lost three, you know, a series after winning the first three games, turned around the next year and won the Stanley Cup. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Sharks will necessarily do that, but that is the upside that I see for San Jose. The downside, of course, is that, you know, that there's rancor there now in the organization, and if things don't get off on the right foot early, it could just devolve into a mess. I mean, when I look at the Western Conference, I don't see a lot of change in terms of the eight teams that make the playoffs and the six that miss, but something has to go awry from one of the eight teams that made it last year. And I suppose just because of all of the drama that you allude to, you know, you would think that there's a case to be made that might happen in San Jose and open the door for somebody else.
Eric, the Blues went out this offseason and they addressed an offensive need up the middle, signing Paul Stastny to a big four-year, $28 million deal. They did let Ryan Miller go, however, although I think maybe he's faded a bit over the years. Have they filled a need but then created a need in net?
You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's why they're going to play the season in St. Louis. You know, they have a probably the best 1-12 forwards and 1-6 defensemen in the game in terms of consistency. There's nobody that really jumps out at you as a guy that's going to, you know, challenge for 100 points, but there's an awful lot of guys that can put the puck in the net, and there's an awful lot of depth in their skater, their lineup of skaters. But you're right. I mean, at some point you do have to, when you're grooming a goaltender like Jake Allen, at a certain point you have to say to yourself, okay, let's see if he's ready right now. And, you know, what I'm intrigued by is that, you know, a lot of times a goalie has to move on to another organization to get that opportunity. When you look at what Ben Bishop did with Tampa last year, he was moved twice before he finally got an opportunity to play. But I reference Bishop because at one point when the Blues had him and Jake Allen, they made the decision that they thought that Allen would ultimately be the better pro. So if they made that decision correctly a couple of years ago and let Bishop go to Ottawa and then on to Tampa, then you'd have to think that he is a guy that can step in and have the kind of same kind of year maybe that Bishop did. So if he does, and I think that they believe he has the ability to do that, then the goaltending should be fine, because I think Brian Elliott is one of those guys that's just a very good backup. You know, if you look at his numbers over the last couple of years, there was one brief season there where they didn't look very good, but he's a guy that can have a goals against around 2 and a save percentage in the, you know, the 920s, and I think that, so, you know, I guess what it's a long way of saying, I think their goaltending is going to be fine, and if it isn't, I think that they can find a remedy closer to the trading deadline.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our season preview spectacular. We're joined by Eric Dehatchik of the Globe and Mail discussing the NHL's Western Conference. Eric, last year, going into last year, Colorado was, you know, a team that had a lot of enviable young talent, yet they surprised a lot of people in and around the NHL with how good they performed in the regular season, and obviously falling just short of advancing past the first round. Do you think the Avalanche take another step forward, or do you see a step back for this team with just an abundance of young talent?
Yeah, well, I think it depends on how you evaluate that. If you're asking me, will they get 112 points, regular season points again? Will they finish first in the toughest division in the NHL? I'm inclined to say no. You know, I spoke to both Gabriel Landeskog and Nathan MacKinnon at the NHL Player Media Tour just before the start of training camps about that, and both essentially riffed on the same theme, which is that we can be a better team and maybe still have fewer regular season points. And then their belief is that they learned a lot in that one playoff series against Minnesota and how they couldn't put them away. And you know, their core of young players is going to be a year older. So if they have to take a half a step back in the regular season, that is not the end of the world. What they really need to do is make sure that when they get to the playoffs next year and get that opportunity to put a team away, that they can do it and that they can do it again. So I think, you know, I mean, I look at Jerome McGinley, guy I've known for a long time, signed a 3-year contract with Colorado, and the main goal that Jerome McGinley has right now is trying to win a championship before his career is over. I mean, he's made all kinds of money. He doesn't need any more money, but he really wants opportunity. And I think that he looked carefully around the NHL landscape and assessed that Colorado team and said, there is a place where I might be able to win within 3 years. And so I'm not sure what kind of a regular season it's going to be for them. I still think that they have the ability to get 100 points. I still think that they're going to make the playoffs. But if they are, you know, if some of those young kids can take the strides that they made in the regular season and just make them that much better in the playoffs, I think they got a shot. I mean, if you ask me for a dark horse Stanley Cup contender right now, and I know the analytics people hate hearing this, I'll say it's Colorado. That's the team that I'm really interested in. And we talked a little bit about style of play too, and you know, they both players said that we're not going to stop playing the way we do, and our analytics don't look great because we score more on the rush than anybody else. So it's going to be interesting. You know, to me, the Avalanche passed the eyeball test because I just love the way that they play. You know, the advanced statistical analysis of it suggests something different. So let's see how it goes. But I don't think they're going to get 112 points. I think that there's going to be a little bit more up and down in the season. They'll catch fewer teams by surprise. But I think ultimately they're going to be a team to be reckoned with once they get to the playoffs.
Eric, continuing with other teams in the Western Conference, the Dallas Stars, I think you'd agree, got better up the middle by acquiring Jason Spezza from the Ottawa Senators. But do you think this team is good enough defensively to make a dent in the playoffs in the Western Conference?
I mean, great question, because if you look at their 1-6 defense core there, you would say, you know, that it is, you know, there are lots of other teams, especially in the Western Conference, that just have, you know, a far better defense. And so, you know, some of these guys I think are getting better. Like Goligoski, I thought, had a very poor first half last year and then got his game together, and suddenly that, you know, horribly one-sided trade with Pittsburgh didn't look quite as bad as it did. But, you know, I mean, Trevor Daley is a solid guy. Jordy Benn looks like he's going to play. Brendan Dillon, if they ever get that contract negotiation settled, looks like a guy that can play. But, you know, I don't see a Shea Weber there. I don't see even a Seth Jones there. So, you know, if you look at Nashville, a team that a lot of people are giving a lot of attention to, you know, their defense is just better than Dallas's. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, they won with a defense by committee last year, and I do agree with your assessment, which is that their forwards are really exciting this year. If Jason Spezza can stay healthy, if Hemsky can stay healthy, I think getting out of that Ottawa spotlight in Spezza's case is really going to help. I think he's just going to enjoy the anonymity of playing in Dallas and being kind of the number two guy and helping that power play become a lot better than it was last year. You know, he's going to really thrive this year. But, you know, there are question marks there on the blue line. And you know, Kerry Lettinen is another guy. Played 65 games last year. That's pretty good for a guy that historically has had some injury issues. So if he can do that again, if he can win 33 games for them again, then, you know, then they're a team that's right there in that mix of clubs that are going to be challenging for 7, 8, 9, 10 in the West.
Eric, you were ahead of the curve on the Anaheim Ducks, you know, kind of taking that next step, and they did that last year. They took a step for sure. What do you think of the addition of Ryan Kesler and their chances this season?
You know, that's an interesting team, too. You know, I think one of the things that hasn't been talked about much about Anaheim is how much they're going to miss the steadying dressing room presence of both Tamu Solani and Zach Lukoi. I mean, I was in their dressing room a lot last year because I spent a lot of time in California. And the one thing that struck me was that it was such an even-keeled room. I mean, in the National Hockey League right now, you know, very few teams that I've been able to see, you know, have it together with their group as much as Anaheim did. And I put it down to the fact that these two veteran guys just preached the lesson of, you know, it's an 82-game season, and you're up and you're down, and you just have to be consistent. And, you know, on your worst day, you're not as bad as you think you are, and on your best day, you're not as good as you think you are. And I just think it was a valuable thing. It's an intangible thing. It's hard to sort of put a value on that. So that is missing. You know, you've taken two important dressing room presents out there. Now, you've added a guy like Kesler who can be a catalyst, I think, on the ice and off, but I just don't know how it's going to affect the dressing room culture there. And then the other question is, you know, I do think that, you know, between John Gibson and Frederik Andersen, they have two of the best young goalie prospects in the game, and I think that one of them likely will, you know, be good this year. It's hard for me to believe that both of them would struggle. But, you know, they're a team, too. I just don't see them matching their regular season point total. I mean, they were the top team in the league, essentially, on our side of it. And I think that they could potentially go backwards in the regular season and hope that some of these young kids that they've created spots for, you know, Hampus Lindholm's in his second year. I think Adam will play as a regular. I think Smith Pelly will play as a regular. These guys have got size. They've got some ability. You know, it will depend on how they evolve. If they can become contributing NHLers this year, then they have a nice mix in Anaheim. But, you know, there are question marks, and some of it has to do with dressing room chemistry, and some of it has to do with the development of the players coming through the system.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is Eric Dehatchik of the Globe and Mail, discussing the NHL's Western Conference as part of our NHL season preview spectacular. Eric, as any Canadian hockey fan knows, it was slim pickings Manitoba West last season. Of course, we'll talk to you about the Jets coming up in a couple of questions, but, you know, in terms of the Canucks, Oilers, and Flames for the upcoming season, how would you rank those three teams in terms of how you figure them going to finish in the Western Conference?
Well, I think Vancouver is still the best of those three teams. You know, a lot will depend on how Ryan Miller goes in. He looked pretty good against Calgary last night, although he didn't get a lot of work. But I think he's a guy that is not that far removed from being an elite-level NHL goaltender. So, you know, it's going to be an adjustment period for him to, you know, to play in Vancouver after, you know, that brief pit stop in St. Louis and all those years in Buffalo. But I think if he solidifies the goaltending situation, I really do think that Eddie Lack is a guy that can be a more than adequate backup. In fact, I suspect there'll be times this year when Lack is playing so well that, you know, he'll get a stretch of games just because I think that he has that much upside and ability. But, you know, there's an awful lot of guys there that I think are just coming off of off years. You know, you can blame it on injury. In the case of, you know, Henrik and Daniel Sedin, most of the years these guys roll out there for 82 games. This past year, you know, Henrik missed a dozen. I think Daniel missed 9 and probably should have missed a lot more. So I think these guys are fully capable of getting close to point-of-game production again. And, you know, how do you replace Ryan Kesler? Well, you know, Nick Bonino is not the same player, but I think that he is a guy that can score. I mean, this team just didn't score enough last year, and I think that they have the ability to do that now, a little bit more depth up front, like their defense core. I think their goaltending is solid. I mean, I think one of the teams that made the Final Eight last year, if they fall back for whatever reason, that I think Vancouver is the team that is best equipped to move in and grab that last playoff spot.
Eric, as far as the Minnesota Wild goes, they essentially acquire Thomas Vanek and for Matt Molson. How different do you think their season is going to be now that they've acquired Thomas Vanek? Do you think they can take the next step? And how concerned are you about the goaltending situation?
Well, I really like Darcy Kuemper, and so I'm not as concerned probably as some people are. You know, I was pleased that they signed him to a 2-year contract. It suggests to me that they believe that he is going to be the guy that's on their roster. I think that has something to do with what happened with Josh Harding earlier this month. But I like him. You know, I like him as a goaltender, and I think that he can, you know, given the opportunity, I think he can be, you know, their number one guy. And so if he is that guy, and especially, and then if Backstrom can come in, and, you know, Backstrom at different times in his career has been excellent. You know, like last year, you look at the numbers, 5-11, okay, that's terrible. You know, that, but that is out of character with the goaltender that he's been when he was in his prime. So, you know, have all those surgeries, have all those abdominal problems, you know, caused him to be a different goaltender, a poor goaltender? I don't know the answer to that. We haven't seen enough to be able to evaluate that. But I think that no matter what, if Kuemper stays healthy, I think they're okay there. So then you look at the rest of their team. They're fun to watch. You know, people who aren't paying attention to the Minnesota Wild because they have this reputation of, you know, the Jacques Lemaire era still sort of clinging to them a little bit. You know, they have some of the most exciting offensive guys in the game. I think there's going to be a great breakout season from Michael Granlund. I mean, if you look at the way he played in the Olympics, I think he's going to have the opportunity to play on the number one line there. I think, you know, Vanek gives them, really, they have five elite scoring forwards as far as I'm concerned right now. And, you know, whether you like the way Vanek played for Montreal or not, I think he has proven that, you know, he's still in his prime. I think going back to Minnesota is going to motivate him. Essentially, you took, you know, Danny Heatley's money out of that lineup and you put Vanek's in, and the different stages that they're at in their respective careers, I think that's a major upgrade. So I see lots of potential there. I mean, even the young kids that came in last year, like Niederreiter and Coyle, you know, and who knows where Zucker is. I mean, they've got personnel there that are going to be really attractive. And, you know, Ryan Suter, I mean, it's just, you know, solidified and changed the identity of that entire team. I mean, people talk about how much money is frittered away in free agency, but I would suggest that the Wild, you know, has gotten every dollar's worth out of Suter so far. Just changed the whole dressing room complexion and allowed everybody else to play further down the depth chart, eats those big minutes. You know, he needs to stay healthy for this team to be competitive, but I think they're pretty good.
You know, we break down on this station, Eric, the fifth line of the Winnipeg Jets, but the main moves they made this offseason was bringing in Matthew Perreault and having Olli Jokinen exit. What do you see, you know, from the outside looking in terms of Winnipeg? What do you see of the Jets this season, and what do you think fans can expect?
Well, they are one of the hardest teams to assess going into the season because, to me, if they get above-average goaltending from Andre Pavlik, then I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. And, I mean, you know, whenever I look at Winnipeg's lineup, I keep thinking, you know, once those young players like Morrissey, you know, he's good, but he's at least a couple of years away from from his prime. So, you know, they've got two or three guys that I think are going to be dynamite NHL players in 3 years' time. It's similar to Calgary a little bit with Monahan and Bennett. You know, people are very excited about these guys, but let's face it, you know, when they're 23, they're going to be better than they are today. Right. And at one point, Monahan might be Nieuwendyk and Bennett might be Doug Gilmour. If they are, then you can really get excited about it. So I think it's the same approach with Winnipeg. You know, they've done a really good job of drafting. You know, a guy like Jacob Trouba was able to come in and have an impact last year. But when that group, including Scheifele, when that group matures 3 or 4 years from now, I think that, you know, things are going to be very, very bright for Winnipeg. But this year, I like their defense. I think that with the way their lineup is, if Kane bounces back, they probably should have two scoring lines. And then it just depends on where the goaltending is, because it really wasn't very good. I mean, Edmonton's goaltending was terrible. You know, you can always isolate goaltending. You can always blame goaltending. But I think in Edmonton's case, that was really a factor in why they struggled in the first 20 games and basically were out of a playoff spot by then. And I think that you can fairly assess that that's what happened with Winnipeg. I think Pavlik has the ability to be much better than that. And if he is much better than that, they've got some nice pieces there. And I like what Paul Maurice brings to the mix as the coach there. So I think I said, you know, in the paper back in the spring that I can sort of see how it's coming together in Winnipeg, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it will come together this year.
Eric, we'll let you go on this final question, and year in, year out, as we do this show, it's always the same final questions. Your prediction from who comes out of the East, who comes out of the West, and who eventually is the Stanley Cup champion 9 months from now?
Well, I like the hire of Mike Johnson in Pittsburgh. I think that he's going to change the culture there a little bit, and I think that, you know, Crosby indicate, you know, I just think Sidney's going to have a great year. I think Malkin's going to have a great year. And so I think that Pittsburgh has lots of nice pieces, and I think that the change in the management there is going to allow them to be the team in the East. And in the West, it is so difficult to call. I'm going to, you know, take the easy way out and pick Chicago. You know, they were very unlucky last year to lose on a deflected shot in the overtime of the seventh game in the conference final. I thought they'd, you know, that was, you guys alluded to it earlier. I mean, it might be the best hockey series I ever covered. I was on it the whole way, and it was fantastic. And I'm glad that you guys share that assessment of it. So I think, you know, from talking to Patrick Kane a couple weeks ago, you know, the stinging of that loss hasn't really receded, and they believe that they've got the team to get back there and to win it again. And so I just think that they're the best playoff-equipped team in the playoffs in the Western Conference right now. So I'm going to go Chicago-Pittsburgh, and I hope we get that, because I think that would be a real exciting final.
I think epic would be the word that we could use to describe that. Eric DeHatchik covers the NHL for the Globe and Mail. Eric, thanks very much for doing this. We appreciate your time.
Okay, my pleasure, guys.
Take care, Eric. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to look at the final teams in the Pacific Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Big thank you to Eric DeHatchik of the Globe and Mail joining us for our Western Conference preview. If you missed any of that, or if you missed the interview earlier with Kevin Allen of USA Today about the Eastern Conference, they are available for download on TSN1290.ca, on IllegalCurve.com, and of course available on iTunes if you subscribe to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, the official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey, conveniently located at Cordon and Lanark in the Cordon Village Mall. Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat in their full-service restaurant. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Gentlemen, continuing with the final four teams in the in the Pacific Division, we'll do two this segment and two the next segment. The Arizona Coyotes, formerly the Phoenix Coyotes, they're now the Arizona Coyotes, are next up. They acquired Sam Gagne and BJ Crombien from the Tampa Bay Lightning. They signed Joe Vitale, Devin Dubnyk, Mike McKenna, and Andrew Campbell.
Vitale.
They lose Mike Ribeiro, Radim Verbata, Thomas Greiss, Andy Meal, Tim Kennedy, Paul Bissonnette, Jeff Halpern, Derek Morris, and Brandon Yip. You know, have the Coyotes really done enough to upgrade and put them in the playoff discussion in the Western Conference?
I don't think so. Yeah. And I think this year there's a good chance that we see Max Domi or both of Max Domi and Henrik Samuelsson, 2013 draft picks, make the team this year. Max Domi really doesn't have anything more to prove in the OHL. He's been an excellent player. I think the Phoenix Coyotes' strength, guys, is always going to be in goal and defense. They've got an excellent decor there, and they were a really good power play team last year with, obviously, Keith Yandel quarterbacking the power play. Mm-hmm. But Sam Gagner, I think we'd agree that he's more of a second-line center. He's going to be expected to be the first-line center there and provide a lot of offense. And Shane Doan obviously had the Rocky Mountain Fever issue last year and missed some games. He's always going to be the unquestionable leader of this team. I just don't think they're going to score enough goals. I think they're excellent defensively, as I mentioned, but I just don't think they're going to score enough goals, and I don't know that they have what it takes. Again, Richie, because you're talking about, similar to the Winnipeg Jets competing with the Chicago Blackhawks and the St. Yeah. Louis Blues, the Phoenix Coyotes on a nightly basis, obviously they're going to play other teams, but you're going up against the LA Kings, the Anaheim Ducks, San Jose Sharks, teams that are better than them. So I think the Coyotes actually finished probably 12th or 11th in the Western Conference this year.
Two things on the Coyotes quickly, Drew. I know we're going to try and get all these teams in. We're going to get all these teams in.
Yeah, we are.
Their defense is more offensive than defensive. That's a problem. They don't defend as well as you think, and Mike Smith hasn't been that good the past 2 years.
The Vancouver Canucks are the next team to talk about in the Pacific Division. They had wholesale changes to their front office and behind the bench. Jim Benning is their new general manager. Mm-hmm. Willie Desjardins is their new head coach. They've acquired Nick Bonino and Lucas Spezza from the Anaheim Ducks. They acquired Derek Dorsett from the Rangers. Lyndon Vave from the Los Angeles Kings. Ryan Miller is their goaltender. Dustin Jeffrey signed and Radim Verbata signed. They lose Ryan Kessler, Jason Garrison, David Booth, Mike Santarelli, Zach Delp, Jordan Schrader, Ben Ferrero, Jeremy Welsh, Andrew Alberts, Pascal Pelletier, and Yan Sove. The Vancouver Canucks had everything that could possibly go wrong last season. Is this sort of a team that has the potential to be a dark horse candidate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Drew, I agree with Eric DeHash said last segment. I mean, if there's one team that's going to get in there out of the top eight, you know, if one of the top eight from last season doesn't make the playoffs, Vancouver could be the team that takes that spot. Pretty solid on the back end still. You know, Chris Tanev, an underrated player who really had a nice season, and Bieksa, Hamus, and Edler have certainly proven themselves at the NHL level. Ryan Miller, I don't love, but Ryan Miller, Eddie Lax, a solid combo. And Nick Bonino, you know, not really second line center, probably a kind of a switchblade, kind of like a, you know, a Swiss Army knife kind of guy on a really good team. But certainly has talent, can play on the power play, and Verbata complements the Sedins, I think, and they've seemed to flourish so far. So, you know, a team that you're not going to take lightly, and they could be a playoff team. I don't love them. Offensive depth-wise, they certainly miss Kessler at second-line center. I think their room will be a little better. I wonder if eventually BX is out of there, too, to try and totally change the room. But they're certainly going to be better than they were under Tortorella last year.
Yeah, it can't get any worse, yeah. Richie. So much change in Vancouver. You mentioned the GM, Drew, the coach, yeah. Willie Desjardins coming in. And I like how Jim Benning came in there, and he traded Ryan Kessler, addressed the goaltending situation, acquired Radim Verbata. There's a lot of things that he did that were good, and I think they will compete for a playoff spot. I don't know. To me, they're kind of a bubble team. I don't have them making the playoffs. I think they'll be competitive. I like getting Derek Dorsett in there, kind of a guy that crash and banger on the fourth line. I really like Lyndon Vay, who was an LA Kings draft pick. He was a point-per-game player in the AHL. I agree with Richie. I think that this team and the Sedins can't be any worse than they were last year. They had a combined 97 points, 50 for Henrik, 47 for Daniel. 4 or 5 years ago, Henrik Sedin had 100-plus just on his own. So I think the Sedins will be better. I think they needed a breath of fresh air with Trevor Linden and the management group. So I think they'll be competitive, but I still think, you know, you're going to see, we're a few years away from guys like Bo Horvat and Hunter Shinkaruk being able to help out their secondary scoring. So I think they're going to be more competitive, but not a playoff team this year.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we do our final two teams. They're the two teams that reside in Alberta. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, NHL Season Preview Spectacular on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
What One final segment on this Saturday here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 online, tsn1290.ca. We've gone through 28 of the 30 teams, leaving us with two teams to take care of. That's the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers. Both teams in Alberta finished well out of the playoffs last season. The Calgary Flames ended the year with 77 points, 35 wins, 40 losses, and 7 overtime defeats. Probably exceeded expectations even at 77 points last season. Off-season acquisitions, they named Brad Treliving as their general manager. Brandon Bullock comes from Chicago, Mason Raymond from Toronto, Derek England, Jonas Hiller, Devin Setoguchi, ex of the Jets, and Corey Potter leaving Calgary. Mike Camilleri, Ben Street, Joey McDonald, Chris Butler, Christopher Breen, TJ Gagliardi comes to Winnipeg, Blair Jones, Shane O'Brien, Derek Smith, and Kevin Westgarth. Flames were not great last year, but it probably exceeded expectations, and they are probably in a similar position this coming season. Is that what you figure, Ezzy?
Yeah, Richie, 13th in the conference last year for the Calgary Flames. I expect them to be either 12th or 13th in the Western Conference this year. They added Brandon Bolig, you know, from the Chicago Blackhawks. He'll give them some depth on the forward lines. Mason Raymond actually had a nice season for the Toronto Maple Leafs last year. But this is a rebuilding team. This is year two of the rebuild. Year two post Jerome McGinley, full year. And Brad Treliving, we had him on the show. I really like that hire by Brian Burke. There's a lot to be excited about as far as the future goes with Sam Bennett and Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, a little smaller guy. Johnny Gaudreau will play on the second line for the Calgary Flames this year, former Hobie Baker winner, of course. So there's a lot of good things coming in Calgary. It's just that it's not going to happen this year. It's going to be a few years, quite frankly, before this team at least gets back into the playoffs. But, you know, Mark Giordano had a very underrated season last year. He's their captain, of course. Good, solid defense, and, you know, they're going to go with Jonas Hiller, so their goaltending situation will be better, but this team just isn't good enough yet to crack the postseason.
And their forwards aren't good enough. I mean, look at the defense, and they have some talent, as you mentioned. Giordano's a really good player. I mean, Smead is just kind of a stay-at-home guy. They bring in England for more toughness, but they're not a team. Yeah, young teams always want to have tough guys around, okay? Jonas Hiller, though, is a goalie, maybe not what he once was, at least, but solidifies between the pipes on a young team, and you don't want to take away confidence of young guys. But as you mentioned, the guys who are going to be the future, just not there yet, and Eric DeHatrick mentioned it as well.
The other team in Alberta was the Edmonton Oilers. They had another terrible year, finishing at the bottom of the Pacific Division with 67 points. They bring in Nikita Nikitin from Columbus. They bring in Teddy Purcell from Tampa Bay. They sign Mark Fain, Benoit Pouliot, and Keith Ollie on July 1st. Leaving Edmonton, Ryan Smith retired. Sam Gagner went to Tampa. Taylor Fedun went to San Jose. Anton Belov, Ben Eager, Mark Frazier, Dennis Grebishkov, and Ryan Jones. Any reason to believe the Oilers are much better than they were last year?
Well, they're better in that they have Nugent Hopkins and Eberle and Hall. All these guys are young guys who are only getting better, right? I mean, that's why they're getting better. They bring in some of these guys, Pouliot and Purcell, and are they better than what they had before? Yeah, I think they are. Maybe not Purcell than Gagner, you could argue, but Pouliot than whoever they had there before. But Pouliot, I think, is overpaid, and look at their defense. Let's look at their defense on the roster, and I look at their goaltending, and just too many question marks for them, even if Dallas Eakins created the internet.
That's funny. I thought it was Al Gore.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Edmonton Oilers are going to be a bottom team in the Western Conference. You know, I like Teddy Purcell. Getting him, you know, helps the secondary scoring. And Leon Draisaitl will play in the NHL this year. It remains to be seen if he stays the whole year. But like that draft pick for them. To me, you know, Ben Scrivens and Victor Foss, not the best goaltending tandem. A little bit deeper than they were last year. You know, Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Jordan Eberle, they're great players. But I don't know if they have enough secondary scoring again. There's a lot of pressure on those guys again, and they're a small team. I don't think they improved enough defensively. They were the worst team in the league defensively last year as far as goals against go. So I don't think they've improved enough. But again, I think they'll be better than they were last year, but they're still a few years away from being a playoff team.
Stay tuned on Wednesday, October the 8th. We will then, on the debut edition of NHL Midweek, give our playoff predictions, our Stanley Cup champions, and who we think is going to come out of the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Wednesday, October 8th. the debut, season debut of NHL Midweek. Big thank you to our guests, Eric DeHatchick and Kevin Allen, for joining us. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes, on TSN 1290, and on IllegalCurve.com. Follow us on Twitter, at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com. For producers Tim and producer Remus, for Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.